Responsible! Responsible! Here's a message from our sponsors.
So I had a look in my wardrobe the other day and realised that I don't own that much that isn't burned or stained or torn. And while I do fix everything that I can, I figured it's also probably time for some new clothes. And then I thought, why not buy something that directly supports me? Turns out, if you head to battlebird.productions/merch, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, bags, pretty much anything the modern repair person might need. There are some with a yellow sub on them, some with Automlicon's logo on, of course, and even a shirt from something called Haraldson Computer's Deadly Robot Animal Sanctuary, which I'm very curious about. So, support us and look good doing it. Go to battlebird.productions/merch or check the link attached to this message. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to me. Bye-bye.
Marilyn's Diary, A Long Journey Home, Episode 5.
Diary, it's me, Marilyn. We've run into a bit of a problem.
It could be a big problem.
Yeah, but I feel like maybe it's not worth stressing about too much. Yet.
Marilyn, we have been abducted by pirates.
Oh yeah, Diary, we've been abducted by pirates.
You know, you still seem a little too excited about it.
Well, I didn't think I'd ever get to meet a pirate. I've mostly just read about them in books. And saw them in that film.
Pirates of the Caribbean 85, Part 3, : The Strangest Stranger Tides of Doom. Not a classic.
Come on, computer. You've got to admit it's at least a little bit exciting. They're real pirates, like out of an adventure story. The captain has a wooden leg and a parrot.
Well, a robot parrot.
It's still a parrot.
And they have our ship.
Yes, they do. And we really thought we were there this time. We were so close to home, less than 2 solar systems away from Gontano. And then there was this ship that looked like it had been hit by some kind of rocket strike. It was floating listlessly in space. And we thought we should go a little closer just in case anyone needed help.
Which was, as it turns out, not the best idea.
When we signaled to see if anyone was alive on board, they hit us with an immobilizer. The disguise is really clever. They have panels that fold out onto the outside of the ship that make it look semi-destroyed.
I'm surprised that there are pirates here. They're usually on the outskirts of civilization. Gontano may be a little remote, but it's certainly not as far out as all that.
Then they sent a warning signal out, told us not to struggle. And then they sucked our little ship, which is honestly getting a little too small, considering how much I've grown over the past few months, into their cargo hold. And then they cracked it open like a nut. Rude, considering we'd have opened up if they'd just asked.
I've never seen a ship like this one before. It's nautical. It looks more like it's ready to go to sea than float through space. There's a mast and sails, even though there are no winds in the vacuum of space. By definition, it's a vacuum.
We were brought on board at sword point by a whole host of pirates, and they were led by Captain Jaunet, who was patched all over with metal parts. Her missing eye was covered with a bionic eye patch. Her leg ended in a polished wooden peg leg, and her right arm ended in a hook. And, like all of them, she had a sword.
Not particularly effective weapons in space, swords.
They did also have a tractor beam.
True.
After a lot of deliberation...
A lot of umming and ah-ing.
Was that meant to be a joke?
Yes. I'm not really programmed for jokes.
You're learning!
Oh, well, thank you. I just hope I don't end up with Jolt's sense of humor.
Anyway, yes. They locked us in the hold and went away. It's surprisingly comfortable in here. I might take a nap. Computer, will you wake me up if they do anything?
Yes, of course.
Okay. I'll be back in a bit, Diary. And we're still sitting here. I managed to talk to someone for a while, but they've gone off somewhere. They're called Alex, and they're an intern.
But seeing as this is a pirate ship, surely that should be a cabin person.
Well, they're the most junior person on board anyway. They said they'd been working for Jonay for 2 years now, give or take a few months, traveling here and there on the outskirts of the galaxy, adventuring.
Stealing the ships of people who are trying to get home?
I know, but it's still kind of exciting, computer. Alex was from a small mining settlement on the outskirts of Ursa Minor. They'd spent their whole life waiting for an opportunity to get off-world, but the Automnicon recruiters missed their planet out for some reason. One day, they were on their way home when they had an idea. The next day, they stowed away on a shipment of fuel that was making its way to Ursa Major. But they never got there. Instead, the ship was attacked by Jonay and her pirates, and Alex joined the crew.
And yet, their accent isn't very Ursa Minor.
They could have lost it over the past couple of years.
Maybe.
Hello, it's me, Sponsible. I love you. I wish I had hair. Oh well, here's an ad.
Space Junk now. Show your loyalty to Automnicon. Buy merchandise from our Tee Public store. Find the link in the show notes or at battlebird.productions. And maybe, just maybe, you will be spared.
Himself, or Jason Statham, or Vin Diesel, or the other disciples.
Decided what to do with us in the end.
And what they decided to do was drop us off on a remote planet on the outer edges of the solar system.
At least they were nice about it.
Were they?
Well, they've got food and water, and they charged you up. Last night, just when we thought they'd forgotten about us, they opened the door and brought us out to what I think was some kind of restaurant. Computer, what do pirates call their food place?
Pirates call it the mess.
Right. And they'd set out a feast. It wasn't as sweet as the fruits from Paolo's planet, but it was rich and, hearty? Is that the right word?
Yes, probably. I don't eat.
I might have enjoyed it more if I hadn't been tied to the chair. But still, it was good. They were strangely friendly now that they had the ship. They told us that they decided to drop us off, seeing as they had all they wanted. And there wasn't really anything we could do about it. After the meal, they brought us back to the hold to sleep. That was weird, wasn't it? They asked if I wanted a nightlight or a white noise machine.
And they did offer to charge me, which I was surprised they had the right connectors. Although the hole did seem to have a Faraday cage around it, presumably to stop me signaling for help.
After a relatively calm night, Alex came to wake us up to tell us we'd be landing very soon. They were a little apologetic. They gave us a moment to get ready, and then we were led out onto the planet. It's a little bleak.
It's quite a lot bleak.
Okay, so it's pretty bleak, but it's not too bad. It's a low-level inhabitable planet, but one that's not been settled yet. So there are tree-like plants and what seems to be a source of fresh water. I think we'll be all right for a while. They took us around to the other side of the ship, where they gave us a bundle. It contained food, a solar charger, and a tent.
None of this makes any sense.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain they've spent more money on taking us to this planet and dropping us off than they'll get for the scrap of the ship.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that a business card?
Captain Genet's Autumny Galactic Pirate Experience. Well, I suppose that explains some things.
Does it?
Not really, no.
In the fifth episode of Marilyn's Diary, A Long Journey Home, Marilyn was played by Francesca Mintov-Chish and Computer was played by James Carney. The programme was written by Beth Crane and produced by Headley Knights for Battlebird Productions. We'd like to say a special thanks to Peter S. for their support on Patreon. We use the donations we receive from Patreon, Ko-fi and PayPal to pay our actors, pay ourselves and run the show. We are so, so grateful for all that you do for us. If you want to support We Fix Space Junk, visit battlebird.productions or see the show notes.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
It's the last days of summer, 1920. Do you know where your children are? They should be playing outside.
Come on, Chelsea.
Mima says we're not allowed to go to this house. We're not even supposed to be on this side of town.
Doing their chores.
Why aren't these chicken coops clean?
Please, Father, I'll be good. Oh, God!
Obeying their parents.
You look me right in the eyes and tell me you didn't steal this bike.
Ma, no, I've been helping Mr. Diamond, all right?
Lord, don't tell me my son is working at a speakeasy.
Exploring their feelings.
Let's go over to the apple tree.
Gosh, okay.
But unfortunately for these young fools, the neighborhood bully has other plans.
Tonight, you are going to meet me out in front of the old Barnaker house.
Howling house? Why?
Now, a Boy Scout, a tag-along, a doormat, and a delinquent will dare to spend the night in the most haunted estate in Arkham. Will they survive to see the sunrise, or will they succumb to the hunger of Howling House?
You're going to die tonight.
What is that thing?
Is this the witch's library?
I'm gonna kill you!
Not tonight!
Roger, make him stop!
No! You watch!
Run away, little ones.
I'm so hungry.
Listen to the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program's award-winning season, Night at Howling House. The complete story, available everywhere you listen to podcasts, and at CthulhuMystery.com.
All ye outs and free, all the outs and free.